What is going on, everybody? It's episode 152 of Pop Culture Crisis. My name is Brett. I'm here with my co-host. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, Crisis Actors. It's Mary.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm a little lethargic because I just had a milkshake, but I'm hanging in there.
When we were getting ready for the show, Mary says they get post milkshake and french fries, Mary.
Yep. I'm not at my best performance, but you take what you can get. Okay, guys?
We do what we can do here. That's the best we can. Best we got. And we have a guest host today.
Yo.
Introduce yourself, sir.
What's up? I am Shane Cashman. I am the host and author of Tales from the Inverted World. And I'm hijacking this show right now.
No!
Because I need you guys to subscribe to both Pop Culture Crisis and Tales from the Inverted World.
The bigger person, huh?
Scumbag. No, We're neck and neck right now, guys.
We are both at 29.9K here on YouTube. So if you're not subscribed to Pop Culture Crisis and you're somehow watching this, please go first.
Make sock accounts just to subscribe to us.
No.
Break YouTube rules by making alternate accounts and subscribing.
I want you guys to win. You guys do five videos a day, and I will have 100,000 in like 2 weeks. So,
perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
No.
But basically it is like we've
small
been,
victories.
Yeah, we've been having a little thing at the office here because we were both sitting at 29.9K, and Shane has to be the bigger person, whereas Mary is very much out to win. I'm trying to be both at the same time.
I have that fire in my belly.
I just
that's
want
French fries. That's actually French fries.
Yeah, no, they're actually whoever doesn't get 31st, they're firing. So please, guys.
No,
I have children to feed.
See, that's just blackmail. That's just emotional blackmail.
Guys, you have
that's
to do
not
it now.
Fair.
Yeah.
He starts with the humble brags and then goes right in with
that
the
person
dagger.
Who just gave you money actually subscribed to Tales from the Inverted World.
Everyone unsubscribe from Inverted World.
No, it's a win for all of us because we're creating, like I said last time, the counterculture, and this is part of it. So I'm stoked that there's 60,000 people between us.
That's
or maybe there's some overlap, but you know, whatever it is, you know, even if it's we have the same 30,000 people, that's amazing to me.
We are very lucky. I made the joke earlier. I says I'm going to unsubscribe from Inverted World just so that I can make sure to have one less so that we can get to 31st. But we got a bunch of stuff to talk about today, guys. We are going to talk about the all too predictable but oh so annoying announcement about the upcoming next James Bond iteration, which is about 2 years away, and their comments from Barbara Broccoli, who Mary told me she didn't think that was a real thing. She said there can't actually be a person named Broccoli.
I thought the same thing.
And you were like, actually, it's... What did you say?
I said broccoli. As a joke.
I was like, you cannot be serious. I'm done.
Rococo.
You got to put. Yep. Yeah, yes. But I said Barbara Broccoli. Mary didn't believe that was an actual person, but it is an actual person.
Yeah, that's like wasn't that Doug's girlfriend on the cartoon?
Like, I might as well just go around calling myself Mary Asparagus.
That's perfect. Ooh, I like it. I like it. We're gonna call you Mary Asparagus from now on. We got that. We are going to talk about the creator of Friends and literally paying reparations. It sounds insane, but I'm not kidding. The creator of Friends bending the knee at the altar of like modern day progressive values. It's very funny.
Perfect.
We got that, and then we're going to talk about Machine Gun Kelly, Dove Cameron, Disney people, and what I believe is the exploitation of mental, if not mental illness, then people that are struggling with their mental health, and how Hollywood likes to both virtue signal about mental health while also simultaneously promoting people who don't exactly exude the best values.
While inflicting the mental suffering on people in
industry. They're a feedback loop of depression. They feed off of it.
We got that. We got a bunch of other stuff in Podluck. So if you guys are ready, we will just get right into it. Mary, are we ready?
We're ready.
Shane.
I'm so ready.
Pop Culture Crisis first. Subscribe now, quick. Okay. So it says, next James Bond will be a reinvention with no actor in the running yet. The main word that you see there, of course, guys, is reinvention because nothing can be left. Thank you. Nothing on earth can be left as it was. Everything has to be redesigned and changed for modern culture because you're not allowed to have your heroes and keep your heroes or your icons or your the things that were once, you know, the kind of the foundation of our popular culture. It all has to change.
Are we sure that is what they mean by reinvention, though? Because it seems like you're just assuming the worst.
I'm assuming the worst.
What do you think? What would you say it means?
I mean, they have to, in a way, reinvent him every time they recast him, right?
For sure. For sure, like a Doctor Who.
In my opinion, the main characteristics of that character should never change. He should be a ladies' man. He should be the guy. The idea is that the guys want to be him, the girls want to be with him.
So,
and that should never that should never alter. But
The character should stay the same.
Also,
we don't want to reinvent
the character.
Also, who
do you guys think is
so
the best one?
This guy, Daniel Craig.
Pierce Brosnan, but that's
nah, only because of GoldenEye, the Nintendo 64 game, was he a good one?
No, GoldenEye is a fantastic movie.
Nah, he's all right.
GoldenEye is a fan. He's wrong. Don't subscribe to Inverted World. He's wrong.
The tension is already rising.
No, okay.
I love it. Also, is Sean Connery one of them?
He's really good.
I believe
yeah.
I remember he had the most problematic one, so he's my favorite.
Problematic to who?
All of them.
Today's standards?
Today's standards, yeah.
All of them are problematic.
I mean,
even Daniel Craig has one where he basically forces himself. That one was creepy even by Bond standards.
He did, in Skyfall.
Oh, I mean, he doesn't force himself on a woman, but it's definitely not something that modern culture would consider
what
acceptable.
Year was that?
2012.
That's surprisingly
recent.
Yep. Yeah.
So it says the hunt to replace Daniel Craig as the next James Bond is one of the most feverishly speculated rumors in Hollywood, and it doesn't look like we're getting an answer anytime soon. James Bond producer Barbara Broccoli recently revealed that it would be at least 2 years before they start shooting the next 007 film, and explained that the producers haven't even begun to search for a replacement for Daniel Craig yet, as they want the next movie to be a reinvention of Bond.
Yes, I hope it's Tyler Perry.
Please, the first female Bond.
That was already a thing that they were talking about because of the way they marketed No Time to Die,
right.
Because of Lashana Lynch's character in that movie, which, by the way, was all very overblown. The kind of pushback on that. The movie was fine.
I didn't see it yet.
It was fine. It's one of those ones where I remember almost nothing from it, but I don't remember it being annoying or offensive in any
way. It's funny because Skyfall is one I do remember very well. Yeah. It's visually stunning.
Yes. Skyfall is a beautifully shot. I mean, if you like everything to be in shadow and lots of silhouette,
which I do.
Yes. So of course, art house style.
Inverted World people, subscribe now.
It's going to go on all show. It says nobody is in the running. Barbara admitted to Deadline as a star-studded event for the London based by the BFI, which is like the British Film Institute. We're working out where to go with him. We're talking that through. There isn't a script and we can't come up with one until we decide how we're going to approach the next film because it's a reinvention of Bond. Now, when they made No Time to Die, what they did is around this time, people started whining. James Bond is a toxic masculinity, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And what they did is they brought in a woman named Phoebe Waller-Bridge to do rewrites on it, and it turns Bond into much less of the... you have to admit that the character that Daniel Craig plays is very much different from the Bond of old, and that he's... most of it is he's whining over Vesper, and then he gets with the...
But is it a reinvention from the former Bond so much as it's just a different actor, like just filling the skin suit of Bond?
They tried to water down...
Yes.
Any aspects of Bond that could have been just character flaws.
Yes.
Even. Or character flaws are just stepping on the toes of anyone who gets offended too easily.
Yep.
Yeah, or just taking up too much space.
He doesn't have to be a perfect... Like, why do we need him to be a perfect actor? A perfect character.
And this is the line that made me pause, where it says, we are reinventing who he is, and that takes time. I'd like to see the filming in at least 2 years away. So they want to reinvent who he is. Mm. But who he is... shouldn't be up for complete reinvention.
The static nature of his character is the reason that you are able to recast him. Same with like Sherlock Holmes, for example.
Exactly. Right. If you recast him with a new face and he's a completely different person, he ceases to be James Bond and he becomes a generic spy character number three.
Right.
And then it reminded me of this old article. This is back from right around the time we started this this podcast, where Ben Whishaw, who plays plays Q in the new Bond movie, says that he wants a gay actor to replace Daniel Craig as new James Bond. Because, of course.
We need Bond boys.
He doesn't even necessarily say that James Bond has to be a gay character, because that actually wouldn't make any sense. But what is the point of... Like, just because?
Just because. It's Pride Month. Well, this is from...
This article's old.
Yeah.
And I can think off the top of my head, he mentions one in here, which is Luke Evans, who I actually think could play James Bond. I don't know who that is. He was in the Fast and the Furious movies. He plays Shaw's younger brother. But he could do it. The other one I thought, the only other ones that really came to my mind was like Wentworth Miller, who would make a great Bond villain, in my opinion. But maybe not the best Bond. But
okay, I know we were talking about the recasting of the Doctor also. And I was stressing, like, this has to be a man, because every other iteration of the Doctor has been a man, and he needs to be British, because this is a central part of the properties that he's British. But, like, for James Bond, I kind of feel like maybe he has more moldability.
To me, this character is a straight British male, right? So the idea here is that who he is as a character. Now, as long as they don't change that, I don't care if they hire a gay actor.
No. That's fine. At all.
Like I said, Luke Evans, I think, would be the other one that came up was Andrew Scott. Andrew Scott already played a villain. Well, I guess not really. He played a. He's already been in the movies. He played what's his name from Sherlock, Moriarty from Sherlock. I think that could work, but it's like just the fact that you can already tell that the pressure via Hollywood will be to change him and make him different. I think that I disagreed with the concept of Idris Elba. I don't like that. I think he's too old to play the role.
Cillian Murphy.
She likes...
That, we threw that out there for...
I'm way into that.
Do we throw that out there for the Doctor, too?
I think... Well, yeah, you...
Must
you
have. Yeah, but
would he be a
now that
Bond
I think about it,
doctor?
Better Bond than Doctor.
He's a
because
little,
the Doctor
little,
is supposed
skinny.
To have, like, a little bit of a jovial, playful nature.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's an alien.
Is Cillian... What is he? He's an Irish guy?
Irish. Yeah. You can... I mean, you can, they
well,
can
it's
do
an
the
Irish
British
last name, but, like...
They can do British accents. It's fine. They have the list here of like the odds on who plays. This is a constant thing about odds checker. Like you can see who's in the running to play James Bond. And right now at the top is, and I can never pronounce his name. It's not Reggie. It's the Gene Page, the guy from Bridgerton. He's got the highest odds right now. And that went up as soon
who
as.
Who cares about Bridgerton in real life? Have you ever met someone who's into Bridgerton?
No.
Never
in real life?
Even heard of that.
So
never
so,
heard of it?
Never.
It's basically just trash. Like it's like Euphoria, but you put them in Regency gowns.
Exactly. So he's at
now
the top.
I'm sold. And, I don't watch Euphoria.
His
either.
Name re-entered the top of the conversation. Henry Cavill had taken over the lead for who was going to play.
Henry Cavill should be Bond and Superman.
He should at the same time.
At the same time in the same movie.
Is he capable of that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he is. But Gene Page's odds went up when they made the announcement that they were going to reinvent the character. But I don't think Idris Elba would be horrible. I would rather see Michael Fassbender than...
He would be great.
Yep.
Tom Hardy is one of my favorite actors ever.
Yep.
He might be a little too, like,
scruffy.
Crazy-eyed.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so, and Cillian Murphy isn't?
Cillian Murphy...
He's dead-eyed.
But, no, Cillian Murphy has a
he's
dead
stoic.
Charm. Stoicism maybe but he's got like this dead look to him too but like he doesn't seem as completely manic as Tom Hardy can be you know like
and he
if
doesn't
you look
have
at, like,
to
Bronson,
play the same character
no,
that he plays in
no
Peaky
but
Blinders.
His eyes are his eyes and
the other one
terrifying.
That I was thinking of was okay, so we've got Idris Elba I for one movie maybe but he's in his mid-50s or in his 50s so I think that's a little old to start playing
for
the
Idris?
Character yeah
I mean, he's still damn handsome, though.
Like, but I'm saying, but if the idea is to lock him into four movies, he's going to be older by the time.
Yeah.
We're also thinking like 3 years about into the future.
True.
So he'll
you're signing a contract for at least like a few movies.
Yeah.
And then, so
where, how come James Corden isn't on this list?
That's a good question.
please no, please.
We're, Cats, we're sending him back.
Wait, Cats the musical, but James Bond edition.
Boom.
So
I want to die.
Then, just make Jason Statham if we have to come up with a random person. Like,
yeah.
No.
Well, no. James Corden isn't so random. He's British.
And then it says, so there was this other.
If you're British, you're in the running.
Yeah. You're in the running. So it says fans don't want to wait 2 years for Henry Cavill to be cast as Bond. I really don't think they cast Henry Cavill. As Bond,
no.
as much as I think they should,
no, they won't.
They will not, and that's
I
what
don't
I mean
think
by.
They should,
I think it should be a no name. Sorry,
what?
I think it should just be a
no
name.
Daniel Craig was
like a nobody,
no
like you know, like someone from we don't know of.
I would like to know who people in the chat think would be a good Bond because the ones that came to my mind, I liked Damian Lewis, but he's getting a little old now too, and he's kind of
a little redhead.
Yeah, but
I don't think we have.
As we know, there are no young actors.
He looks more like Daniel Craig to me than.
Well, you should be cast not because you look like a previous.
No, I'm trying to think off the top of my head of who fits the general facial.
Daniel
structure.
Radcliffe.
That would be an interesting.
He could do anything. Look, he could do anything.
No,
you don't like him?
No.
You're not a Harry Potter fan, or just
I'm not
a Daniel Radcliffe fan? That's all right.
So I still say it's just perfect, go with Henry Cavill, even though I know that they won't do it. But I would like to see them do it, and I don't know which way they're
going to
go.
If they're going to reinvent Bond, and I agree, I think I agree with Marion. There's a little more moldability to the Bond character because, like, every one of these guys have been there. They all have their own ways of playing him. Some are more understated. Some are like way more action packed. But if we believe that reinventing Bond means them like kowtowing to the sensitivities, the sensibilities of today, who would be a good person for that role? Maybe James Corden. But who else? Like who do you see them actually like going after in this world of how they want to reinvent Bond?
I think they want the guy from Bridgerton. I do think they want him.
No.
I need to see what this guy looks like.
I don't understand the hype about some of these shows. I've never met someone who's like, I love Euphoria, or like, I love Bridgerton.
I don't know if it matters so much if the show's any good, but if they're good, then it, you know, that's cool.
They should shine through and
yeah,
actually like stand out as an actor, feel. And I haven't watched Bridgerton. I wouldn't subject myself to that, but I mean, there are just no worthy young actors these days.
Is Ezra Miller British?
No, thank goodness. I'll just go to one of the super chats. Says unavailable ID name says Tom Holland for Geeky Bond.
Hey,
I mean, I think Tom Holland's a little short.
He's too. I don't know. Peter Piper picked a pepper.
Yeah,
I think he's if we're gonna be funny, get Rupert Grint to do it then.
Hey, you know he deserves it. Where's he been?
Rupert Grint?
Yeah.
He has an ice cream truck.
Is that what he does?
He acts.
Okay.
No, but I imagine him in like
why
some
did
type
I believe
of,
you?
No, he did. That was like a slice of life story. It's like when he got his money from Harry Potter, he bought like an ice cream truck.
Oh. That's funny.
Like, I don't want to know what he was doing with the ice cream truck, but so he did that. The rest of them there, I'm not 100% sure. Richard Madden, who is the dude from 50 Shades of Grey? And the other dude from, in fact, let me look it up here. The one from the show with...
Yeah, that guy was good. That movie stunk, but he was good.
But that he's the guy who played the serial killer in, I forget what it was called, with Gillian Anderson.
Hugh Grant.
No. we're about to get the relaunch of romantic comedies as we were looking at earlier.
Oh, we need it.
Jamie Dornan.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. He could maybe do it. He's like, I think he was in the running for it at one point. But at this point, if you're good looking and British, they're always going to be like, you're gonna play James Bond. When are you gonna play James Bond? Do they ask him that every single time?
What's Alexander Skarsgård? Is he? He's like Swedish
Bill
or something.
Bill Skarsgård's brother. Skarsgård.
Yeah, I like that guy though. The one who was in True Blood.
Yeah,
like that guy's a charming and scary kind of man.
That could. I mean, that's
Wait,
possible.
Northman.
Northman.
He was
in Northman, and he's Eric Northman in True Blood.
Yeah. All right, Super Chats.
Weird, that's confusing. Weirdly, I know.
Caper2X said, I never thought that a stuffed bear could be so frightening. Kudos to Mary's Ursine for, I love that word, for today's castle vlog. Wake up, Princess of Darkness.
That is you.
IFID said, Bond is going to be played by Mary. You heard it here first, folks.
Nice. Wow, I didn't get that casting announcement, but you'll have to let me know when the shooting dates are so I know if Mr. Fluffykins is going to fill in for you.
Yes. Unavailable ID name. Oh, wait, he already...
Yeah, I read that one. He said Idris Elba is acceptable, but otherwise, no. There was an interesting comment on the Henry Cavill one. They said Henry Cavill as James Bond and Idris Elba as M.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
I'm into that. Also, I'd consider Robert Pattinson...
No.
As Bond. Yeah.
Why do you hate Robert Pattinson?
I don't. I just, no.
He wants him to stay as Batman.
I don't want him to do that either. Really? I'd rather him.
I mean, Batman and James Bond have a similar.
Christian Bale. Bale could play Batman, I guess. Or
could play.
I would rather Robert Pattinson did the esoteric. Like he I don't know if you saw The Lighthouse.
Of course.
But I would rather see him do more big budget. I'd like to see him work more with Christopher Nolan like he did in Tenet.
Yeah.
And do more kind of esoteric that rides the edge of both big budget and esoteric themes and ideas. I think that's more his bag. Yeah,
no, for sure.
As far as iconic spy movies, how do you guys feel Jason Bourne compares to?
I love the Bourne movies.
I really like the Bourne movies.
Completely just different vibe.
Not as like
better or worse. I mean,
I it's hard to compare.
One's a dynasty.
They're spy movies, but yeah, one's a dynasty and one's like
a trilogy that had a fourth one that nobody really cared about.
But I haven't watched all the new Bourne stuff, and I don't care when I'm watching Bourne. I feel like I don't care so much about the character as much as I do for the Bond character.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why that is.
And that one's like, there's not going to be, I'm not going to want to see a Jason Bourne with someone other than Matt Damon.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I'm just not. Like, yeah. Though oddly enough, that will probably happen.
Yeah, I was like, thinking like it's inevitable. Eventually, because we're not getting anything new. Like, throw away even your hope of new properties.
What I think they would probably do with that first is they would probably, there'll end up being an Amazon Prime prequel series of Jason Bourne.
No.
Starring somebody not Matt Damon.
Don't
that's much
into
cheaper
existence.
To hire. Yeah, I'm literally speaking it
Ben
into
Affleck.
Existing. Oh,
yeah.
Hey, they're working on a new. They're working on like a Nike biopic right now.
Really?
What?
Yep. Yeah. They're they go way back.
Matt
Damon. Like that movie
and Matt
about
and Ben are making the biopic.
Yes.
The founding of McDonald's.
Yes. The founder.
Bad App said James Bond needs to be British and hairy like Daniel Radcliffe. So someone's on your side. Tom Holland for Geeky Bond. Unavailable ID name said Daniel Radcliffe. I think he means could do it. Watch Now You See Me 2 and...
That's Guns Akimbo is the name of the movie.
Oh, Akimbo.
Yep. And then he also said
Rupert could totally do it. See Wild Target.
That's like, and those are younger actors. That's what I'm saying. Like, those are younger people that could absolutely do it.
What does Rupert look like these days?
Thank you.
Really,
very redheaded.
The glass ceiling is really like, who's the first ginger blank?
Well, if you guys were, you wouldn't remember because you probably were like 2 years old when this happened. But like, not really. When they cast Daniel Craig, the purists came out and they're like, you can't cast a blonde James Bond.
What?
Right.
That doesn't
They're
work.
Always complaining.
They're man. Always complaining. Yeah. And of course, now he did a fantastic job. I love Casino Royale. Mm-hmm. I like Skyfall.
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
I like Skyfall a lot. There's also a great video on YouTube at one point where they turned the entire Skyfall scene at the end of the house of the movie into like a Home Alone scene with like music because it's basically Home Alone.
I like that trend when it was happening, like making Mrs. Doubtfire like a horror movie. Yeah, those are great.
So that I didn't really care for. I actually liked Quantum of Solace, and I think I'm the only one who
I like that too.
It was made during a writer's strike.
Yeah,
the writing doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Right. The shaky cam is so bad that you want to throw up, but you just got done watching a Bourne movie anyway, so there was shaky cam all over it at that time. And I loved it, and that was just Gemma Arterton was in that movie, and I kind of have a love for the movies that are like, I like the forgotten ones of those franchises. Like, I love The World Is Not Enough, which is the forgotten one of the Pierce Brosnan era.
I don't remember that at all.
Nobody does. Like, it's like the Cold War is over. Who are we going to make the bad guy? Let's make an anarchist guy the bad guy.
Maybe the next James Bond will just be what they did with the Spider-Man movie where they bring all the Bonds back.
Please don't speak that into
James
existence.
James Bond All-Stars.
It's the multiverse of Bond.
Quiet.
Suicide
I put it
Squad,
out there.
Quiet. James Bond.
if I have to see a James Bond multiverse, we riot.
We need it.
We riot.
The people need it, Brett.
No. I'm not even. We're not even.
It'll be animated too.
Okay, that's fine. I can dismiss that easier. All right. There's one more there.
Oh, a bad app said, "Yo, the Bourne Stuntacular at Universal Orlando is fire."
I don't know what that
Never
is.
Been.
Never been. But I do love those. I also love Julia Stiles, and she doesn't get a lot of work, and she's in the Bourne movies.
I like Julia Stiles too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Save the Last Dance. Who didn't love Save
Wasn't
the Last Dance?
Wasn't she in Dexter at one point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. So let's move on. What were we going to do next? We're going to do Friends next. Or we're going to do. Okay. All right. So this one is it's too ridiculous to believe. So it says, Friends creator gives a $4 million apology for the lack of diversity in the show. I'm embarrassed, she says. And the first thing I thought of when I read this was, I'll pay reparations to you. No, nobody loves the Friends theme song. It's a long since criticized part about Friends is like it takes place in New York, and it's in, you know, New York is one of the most diverse places in the entire world. But the show is, of course, about like six heterosexual. That's in the article. Six cis heterosexual people, straight heterosexual white people that have the show, and there's only very little.
Then you didn't have to think about people as only their
checkbox characteristics. Yeah. Right. Yep. So it says Friends has long been criticized for its lack of diversity, but co-creator Marta Kaufman is finally ready to admit her failure with a $4 million apology. Hollywood is a culture of guilt and also like weird moral superiority. Like, you know, she feels good about herself.
She is an alumnus donating $4 million to her alma mater.
Yeah, her college.
To a university where they're probably going to spend it on like a fountain or something.
Yeah, they always have to build like a new student center that they don't actually need.
More critical race theory books from Ibram X. Kendi.
So it says Kaufman, 65, initially struggled to grasp the difficult, frustrating criticisms of her television series, choosing to believe the successful show had been singled out, she told the Los Angeles Times. But nearly two decades after the show wrapped, that's the important part to read there too, is it's literally 20 years ago. Kaufman has begun to see the error of her ways. It's literally a struggle.
You
session.
Mean it people have only started that. To point out the perceived error of her ways because 20 years out.
Because culture has shifted and now they're looking at it through a critical lens. Because
what's really wrong with Friends is the writing.
If you ever want to watch something.
Casting wasn't an issue.
If you ever want to watch something terrifying, watch Friends without the laugh trap. Track. Ooh. It's absolutely insane. So it says, I've learned a lot in the last 20 years, Kaufman said in a Zoom interview. Admitting and accepting guilt is not easy. It's painful looking at yourself in the mirror. I'm embarrassed that I didn't know better 25 years ago, the television writer said.
Her $4 million will mean nothing to this cult that she's giving into.
Nope. They will ask for
more. And like, if her offense is that she did not take diversity into account when casting.
She's also not the casting director.
Right, exactly. That's the first thing, okay? But, like, secondly, why is it that her debt is now owed to academia?
Yeah.
Why is her
because
debt owed to the world of academia?
Because it created the culture and the virus that made her have to apologize. They're the cult. They're part of the cult. They're
the
cultists.
Remember yesterday we were talking about R. Kelly and what racketeering was, and one of the cornerstones of a racketeering for like organized crime is like you create a problem and then come and offer to fix it. So it's like it's a bunch. Just imagine a bunch of like collegiate nerds and tenured professors who look like they've never had a day of fun or smiled a day in their life, other than they're making other people's life miserable. And they walk into her life is basically a perceived like local business, and they come in with baseball bats that say diversity and say, sure, it would be a shame if somebody came in here and ruined your store and then break something off the counter. That's what this is. And her and they're like, but if you pay us, we can make sure that nobody ever criticizes you again.
Like, I mean, maybe this would make the teensiest bit of sense if she chose like a charity that vaguely was related to the topic at hand.
Or the industry.
Right.
Yeah. But she's really, she was just like getting letters from her alma mater being like, we need money. And then she decided to like put a spin on it that she's, you know, a freedom fighter or something.
It's perfect that this comes right after the Bond thing, because it's all about trying to destroy the things in the past.
The things you loved.
Good or bad, like with our flaws, which there's plenty in Friends. Like, I realize I watched lots of Friends, and then I have a friend. We were talking about Friends for like a year, like, and I told him I never watched it. A year into our friendship, I'm like, oh, you know what? I did watch Friends. It just went in one ear and out the other. It just doesn't mean anything. But it's all about just you got to destroy it all.
So it says throughout the it says the popular show, which ran from 1994 to 2004, featured a group of six white heterosexual best friends living in Greenwich Village, a famously gay neighborhood in New York City, a historically diverse city. You also have to remember that it's not like she just made this show and it magically appeared on a television somewhere. There's producers, there's directors, there's people at all levels of the corporate structure of Hollywood that would have said, look, our focus groups say you can't do this. That's actually me like saying that it's not necessarily her fault. I don't believe for a second that she's like, we can't cast people.
Like, there's no fault to begin with.
No.
But this is like, if someone, like at a McDonald's, got your order wrong and then you wrote a letter directly to the CEO.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. There's
give me $4 million.
No logic. It's just childish demands.
Yeah.
Throughout the show's 10-year run, the sitcom continued to whitewash New York City and rarely featured a character of color. Friends only introduced two reoccurring characters of color, both of whom were brought on as short-lived love interests for Ross. Along with millions of other Americans, in the 2020 murder of George Floyd, pushed Kaufman to reckon with the country's racist past and her own part in perpetuating systems of racism.
You know what? We need to take out Joey and put in a hologram of George Floyd.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we're good, right?
And then edit it. Like, the whole series will not be accessible anymore having Joey.
Yeah.
So it says, I knew then I needed to course correct. That does not make anything you made prior to that bad.
It I don't doesn't. Understand how course correct means I already did this thing that I regret.
That I made a lot of money for.
That I made my fortune on.
Yes.
A course correction would have happened while you were still running the show.
Now, here's where the language gets really funny to me. It says, in an attempt to redeem herself, Kaufman pledged $4 million to her alma mater. Also take note of the word pledged, not donated.
After Amber Heard, we learned better than to believe that.
Exactly. Is it Brandeis University?
Brandeis.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. I'm a dumb. I don't have a Brandeis degree. To fund an endowed chair in the school's African American Studies Department, one of the oldest in the country. That has nothing to do with Hollywood. That has nothing to do with casting in your industry, which, by the way, there's like we're in a time now. Hollywood, when you look at these trades, if you look at The Hollywood Reporter or Deadline or any of these websites, Hollywood is is more diverse than it's ever been in history. And that's a good thing. But the problem is you're going back and trying to now apologize for something that there was nothing morally wrong with.
This is I have like a weird I have a friend who she's done very well, has a great business. And she got attacked during the summer of the riots. Mm. And she got attacked online for not posting a black box fast enough.
Compelled speech.
Yeah. And like that was and she was totally like outside of politics, didn't know really what was going on, didn't really think much of it. And then it was only after seeing the mob come after her on Instagram.
Yeah.
Where she was like, whoa, there's something happening out in this world that I don't know about. And it's pretty terrifying.
So it says the Marta F. Kaufman 78 Professorship in African and African American Studies will support a distinguished scholar with a concentration in the study of the peoples and cultures of Africa and the African diaspora. An assistant to the department to recruit more expert scholars and teachers, map long-term academic and research priorities, and provide new opportunities for students to engage interdisciplinary scholarship. The Massachusetts-based university announced. It took me a long time. No, it gets funnier. It took me a long time to begin to understand how I internalized systemic racism. Kaufman's told what is it again? Brandeis. Okay. I've been working really hard to become an ally, an anti-racist, and this seems to me to be the way I could participate in the conversation from a white woman's perspective. She's literally saying my way of contributing to this conversation is by giving you money.
This sounds like white savior complex.
It does a lot to me. So it says last year's Friends reunion aired to honor the iconic show, its beloved characters and diehard fans. The show faced renewed calls to address its glaring lack of diversity. Address what? In what? What do they?
Imagine what?
All say we are sorry once and leave it be.
Don't even say sorry.
I'm saying they can't help themselves. They have to. Like, if you actually feel guilty for it, apologize once and leave it be. After that, let the people whine.
Yeah.
They have no problem changing everything right now anyways.
We saw,
and they don't apologize for that. That's fine. Don't apologize if you don't mean it.
Totally agree. We saw something similar with J.K. Rowling when she started apologizing and changing things, you know, a few years ago.
Didn't help her either.
Didn't help her because you'll never be fully baptized into their cult.
No.
They'll always just eat you alive. It'll always happen.
J.K. Rowling didn't even get invited back to the 20th or to the whatever anniversary that they did on HBO Max. Yeah. They're like, it's the series by J.K. Rowling. And they're like, everyone's there. Rupert Grint is there. Yep. Daniel Radcliffe is there. Emma Watson's there. She's also, there was a bunch of videos talking about how like she spoke out very heavily against J.K. Rowling, but saying nothing about Ezra Miller, who she knows.
Oh, I know.
What Emma Watson said was she would return to the franchise to play Hermione if J.K. Rowling had no involvement. acting as if Harry Potter is not what made Emma Watson right. Emma Watson.
Right. Or you can't even do a Harry Potter at all without J.K. Rowling's involvement because it's her brain.
Exactly.
Like, it proves to you that they don't understand. Like, that's literally like that's how much they view everything as IP and not as the beauty as a beautiful creation of an individual. Mm. They're like, well, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Like, sir, she created it. You can't come back if she doesn't come back, nut job.
Because they do believe the struggle session will root out the evil that they see.
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way.
Never ending hazing ritual after hazing ritual.
And you never
get to be a part of the club.
Yep.
It's never enough.
So you need to stop trying. But, like, these people just fall for it every time. And it's disheartening to watch them.
It is. It's also kind of funny.
Well, yeah.
Like, $4 million.
I mean, you're out $4 million, so.
In my, like, to me, it's just frustrating. Like, I listen to these people do this, and it's just like, imagine working in an industry where everyone is so cutthroat and so rabid and so self-interested. Mm-hmm. But the way that they prove that they're self-interested, rabid, and cutthroat is by pretending to not be any of those things through virtue signaling.
Right. Could you imagine if there was some, like, older white actor right now or director saying, we got to revisit the Martin show because there's not enough white people on it.
That's okay. And that's the funny thing is that there's the first comment that was down here says, along with millions of, okay, let me go down here. They says, wasn't Friends on during the same stretch of years that TGIF featured 2 hours of all black sitcoms,
Girlfriends,
Family Matters, Hanging with Mr. Cooper quickly come to mind, not to mention countless other shows that
A Different World,
Living Color, Martin. And it's like, you're rewriting our history through the lens of, these shows existed, but that's not enough for them. They also need to go into a space where a bunch of other stuff was successful because they understand that a show like Friends is also a cultural touchstone. Mm-hmm. So you can't crap on in Living Color, Martin, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, or Family Matters, nor should you.
Right.
But they don't believe in that. They are vicious, rabid, and want to come for everything that was a cultural touchstone in America, and it pisses me off.
Yep. It should. When do you think they're going to come for, like, How I Met Your Mother? It's going
to
happen.
All this, you look at now is like all this stuff through the lens of whatever progressive bullshit you believe will be applied to stuff later. That's the problem with critical ideology is that it's basically the definition of Monday morning quarterbacking everything through a modern lens.
Right.
It's a lot easier to make that comment the next day than it is the day before.
For sure. All the stuff they're creating today that's like, you know, coming out of this cult that they're in, we're going to look at in 20 years, I think, and be greatly ashamed of, you know, because it's so clearly propaganda.
Someone commented they should remake Friends, but cast all of them as black or gay. It'll be a hit. Like that.
We'll get all the people who get in trouble for wearing black.
The joke being that no one wants to see something that contrived and heavy handed. And to begin with, like, Friends was received so well by a different culture than the one we have today.
A very different culture.
We know that because when we go back and rewatch it, we're like, well, this kind of sucks. And
and not just white people like Friends. Like, you don't have to be white to like it. Like, I loved Martin.
But
like,
these people don't realize
because
that.
They're supremacists. Yeah. Like, they only see skin color. It's insane.
I love Family Matters. Like, it's like they don't realize that culture was. This is a bad problem in comics as well, where they're pretending as if the industry wasn't diverse already.
Right.
Like, these are the people. Remember, like, I always like to make fun of, like, the fake award, like the fake firsts that they're always talking about. The first person to do this, the first person to do that.
Right.
This is a generation of people that have been raised. The example that Sticks would always give is like, gay marriage was like the last great American civil rights battle we had. I guess before recent, he says there's a whole generation of people who feel cheated out of the ability to be part of something like that. Mm. So now they're going back and trying to like reinstitute that type of belief into stuff that's already happened.
Right.
We were already a diverse culture long before these people came along.
Yes. Yeah. It's like going out west for the gold rush 10 or 20 years after they found all the gold.
Exactly.
you're just looking for dirt now.
So I wouldn't be surprised if there was a comment like just 4 million, but you made so much money on Friends.
I did also think it was strange that she zeroed in on the African-American studies department of the university when no one specifically said what race they wish had been casted.
Right.
She just kind of assumed that, which also is like very 90s. Like, there's black and white and that's just
It's a soft bigotry of low expectations with these people every time.
It just bums me out because it's they're beautiful mediums, they're beautiful art forms, mm-hmm. and when you make everything about identity politics, it ruins it. Yep. So, all right, super chats.
Unavailable ID name said Ross's ex-wife was a lesbian, and it was 25 years ago. Joey was Italian. That's funny.
True.
DizWiz said, I learned English while watching Friends. It's such a shame to see it suffering a struggle session in front of the Church of Woke.
It really That's is a awesome. Struggle session.
That's a great That's way exactly to learn English. What it
is. Waffle Sensei said, it's like you ordered a Big Mac in 2010, and then in 2020 you show up at McDonald's and yell, why didn't you give me the McRib a decade ago? It's better.
Great point.
That's good. Thank you. Bad App said, Friends should pay me reparations for watching the reunion. Did you guys watch the reunion?
I did not.
Okay. Unavailable ID name said, you guys are getting bot bombed. Yes, I'm aware.
Are we?
Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and let's move on, and we will talk about Hollywood and what I believe is the glorification of mental health struggles and how the industry kind of perpetrates that culture on their, you know, the celebrities that work there. We know that through Disney. We know that through musicians like Machine Gun Kelly and this thing that we're going to talk about here, and how then they also virtue signal about these things. So it says, the first article says, Machine Gun Kelly snapped and put loaded shotgun in his mouth during call with Megan Fox. It says, Machine Gun Kelly detailed a disturbing phone call he made to Megan Fox shortly after his the death of his father in 2020, a call which Kelly put a shotgun in his mouth and nearly pulled the trigger. Now, what's the first thing I thought of was, like, when me and you first started covering all this stuff, they just feel so try-hard, their relationship, right?
Totally.
We were talking, like, they feel like they're trying to be 22 years old.
Not 22. They sound 15. And look like they're trying to pretend that they're in high school, yeah. even. For Machine Gun Kelly, I believe he may actually be mentally stuck there.
Well, that's but I'm saying, like, Hollywood is consistently talking about mental health. Mm-hmm. It goes along with it's a very good goal to have. It is a good thing to bring awareness to. Yeah. But they both tell you that you need to focus on that while fostering an industry that absolutely does not work or compute yeah. well mm-hmm. with that type of behavior. Yeah. How many times do we have to talk about Doja Cat having her meltdown on Twitter about wanting to quit music, likely from stress of what's going on doing her job, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like they have a very high stress industry, but then they virtue signal
yeah,
about...
In the case of Doja Cat, I think that actually was a real meltdown that she was having about it, and a real conflict about whether she wanted to continue, but then she played it off as a joke.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that
no I find her to be very authentic. Yeah. I don't find Machine Gun Kelly authentic in the slightest.
So and to me, this is a culture of drugs and drug abuse, which to mm-hmm. be fair, Hollywood doesn't, I mean, music glorifies it a lot of times, but
I don't think that his music glorifies
no.
it. His music is kind of just like bubblegum pop punk now,
but yeah. but if I'm being generous to the industry, I could say that, like, for the most part, Hollywood, like, they don't show smoking on TV. I think that's a weird distortion of what reality actually mm-hmm. is, and I think
right.
that's kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. But it's not like they're telling
it's
you
like
that
it's countercultural in an uncanny way.
Yes.
Like, not believable.
So, but I don't find that, like, for the most part, they're going to glorify drug use. But I do think that they glorify when these people go through struggles and have these incidents without acknowledging that the industry is the reason these things happen.
And at the same time, glorifying Megan Fox and MGK's relationship as these twin flame soulmates who were meant to be together. And, you know, Megan Fox was just a victim of circumstance all her life until she found her soulmate, MGK, and they're just perfect for each other.
Yeah.
When in reality, this is happening behind the scenes.
Yep. So it says, this is the musician made the confession in his new Hulu documentary, Machine Gun Kelly's Life in Pink. So it says, I flew to my dad's apartment to clear out all his stuff. I had this really weird interaction with the neighbor who told me all these things I didn't want to hear, and that effed me up even more because I couldn't get closure on it. And Kelly, who has opened up in the past about having a tough relationship with his father due to his unruliness as a teen. I wouldn't leave my room, and I started getting really, really, really dark, Kelly continued in the doc. Megan went to Bulgaria to shoot a movie, and I started getting this really wild paranoia. Like, I kept getting paranoid that someone was going to come and kill me.
It was him.
Says, I would always sleep with this shotgun next to my bed. I also want to point out that these are the people that talk about gun control and have
they
no,
all
like,
own them.
And mm-hmm. like, but the, but like, have like, you think of this, you think of Ezra Miller having a compound with guns just laying
they
around.
They own them and misuse them and assume that
everybody
else
does.
Did, yeah.
if you've ever talked to anyone who's proficient in firearms or uses firearms, uh-huh. you're supposed to treat that weapon with a lot of deference because you know that you can that it's very powerful. And they do not treat the owning, the use, or the care of a firearm in any type of light in any type of lighthearted
fashion.
I don't
think MGK is, you know, in any state of mind to be around a lethal weapon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it says, I would always sleep with my shotgun next to my bed. One of the days I just effing snapped. I called Megan. I was like, you aren't here for me. I'm in a room and I'm like freaking out on her. He recalled. I put the shotgun in my mouth and I'm yelling on the phone and like the barrel's in my mouth and I go to cock the shotgun and the bullet as it comes back up and the shell just gets jammed. Saying Fox was like dead silent at that point, he said that's when he realized something's not right, and he pointed it at his own head. He said both Megan and his daughter Cassie came to him separately and expressed concern as well, telling him, I want to be able to see you in your eyes. I don't want to be like talking to you through a veil anymore. I want to see you as my father. I want to see you as my husband to be. They've glorified this relationship. As these, how would you just, I didn't even know how to describe it.
They always harped on them being twin flames.
Not star-crossed lovers, but the like they were meant to be together. Yeah. And like it's this,
soulmates,
it's
right? That's
supposed to be.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Right? You're just like, you're meant to be soulmates. When did they ever say that though? I never saw that.
It was a big thing.
Really?
Like when they first
started drinking the blood and stuff?
Well, I mean, that came later, but overall, like, the theme of their relationship is no one understands us. We're just, like, the only people who understand each other.
Did you ever buy them? Like, did you ever buy the relationship as something authentic?
No, and I always thought it was, like, just on the surface level. Like,
right.
So
and what's funny,
obviously, like, fake and right. contrived. People who are not that interesting in their private lives,
it's just
but want to pretend to be.
Generic
sad,
brand Kardashian.
The sad part is she's really intelligent. And it's
she,
like,
I mean, I don't even think that Megan Fox is like really intelligent. I think she's just intelligent enough that she's like good at speaking. And, you know, given that she's also incredibly attractive.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. a remarkable combination.
The bar is low for
But
actors.
She believes herself to be way more intelligent than she is. And when she starts like talking about astrology and relationships and feminism and blah, blah, blah,
right.
she really thinks that she's just like a galaxy brain.
I saw someone in an interview once talk about how they believe she was like an idiot too. And then like she happened to be reading a book on set as
right,
if like oh
she's
my goodness.
A person. That's it's not that
read.
Complicated. And that's all you need to realize about celebrities to
right.
to understand that they have their own dysfunctions.
Right.
Do you also remember when they made the big deal? It was like a big segment on all the late night talk shows where like he did ayahuasca and he's like,
oh, there was.
Remember that, right?
Headline after headline.
Glorifying.
Rounds of them. Glorifying the fact that they drink each other's blood, and then the ayahuasca thing.
So here's the next line in that article where it says, and I was like, I need to kick the drugs for real this time, said Kelly, who didn't mention whether he was using drugs at the time elsewhere in the story. He clearly was.
Paranoia
you do not,
came.
You do
something
not,
they were saying about the ayahuasca thing was like, it brought us closer together.
Right.
We trauma bonded.
Right. Right, it's supposed to cleanse your soul.
Dude.
As somebody who is like, given that I'm like in recovery, but I'm also very libertarian in the concept of drugs because of personal responsibility, and would rather see them distributed legally through like clean facilities where you know exactly how much you're getting, rather than a bunch of people buying a bunch of pills that have been.
I'm very torn about that.
Okay,
but that's a whole other discussion.
So, but so like,
but yeah.
to see that, but then to see them glorify this type of behavior
when evidently
from somebody who can't handle it.
Yeah, he's got paranoid delusions now that are making him suicidal, and then he's placing that burden on this mother who is his girlfriend. Like, it's insane.
And I can empathize and feel awful for what he's going through, losing his father. Mm-hmm. He's struggling with addiction. I don't take issue with him being that way. If he wants to get help, if he wants to get better, if he's working towards that, I take issue with the industry at large talking constantly about mental health and then allowing this stuff to be glorified.
Now, to be devil's advocate, do you think it's good to present these stories, even if they don't seem authentic to us, for people to be like, oh wow, I should get help.
It never comes off as authentic.
It never does to me either.
Yeah, you have to remember they selectively reveal these things.
Oh, for sure.
I'm jaded on that because on one hand I could understand them, like the idea that that could help somebody.
Right.
But to me, you don't get help from something like that from a person you don't, from a celebrity.
I hope not. But in today's culture where so many people do worship these people, I don't understand it. I feel like someone would be like, oh, I need to hear that. Like they would in some stupid song, you know, but I don't know. I think it's gross. I think they're terrible role models for their children.
So then we have this other story where he smashes a champagne glass in his own face at a concert.
It's just like, I don't know why, but it's so Armie Hammer vibes where you're just the most bland individual ever. And you do crazy things and try to look as weird as possible from the outside to compensate for how uninteresting you are.
Because, like, I like a lot of bands where this might have happened on stage, right?
Yeah. And that's the first, but it doesn't come off as authentic.
But for him, he looks like he's cosplaying this whole time.
Totally.
Like, I know he had beef with a band I like, Slipknot, and I believed in Slipknot, like, their antics on stage. Like, they weren't just doing it to be like, oh, look at what I can do. They were completely deranged, if you watch their videos. Yeah. And they would probably do that if no one was watching them. When he does it, I'm like this kid who's like, you know, he just got this freedom and he's got this look. And this looks
so
cool.
Try hard. Yeah. And especially because, like, at his age, he was in the Warped Tour scene. Like, I understand there's a spirit of, like, rock and roll, whatever. But this is, like, so put on.
Yeah.
Was he in Warped Tour? I don't know how old he is. He's either 20 or 45.
he was a rapper before he did.
Oh, like, yeah.
Before Eminem embarrassed him.
Yeah. I remember, like, I first heard of him because he did a collab with Sleeping with Sirens.
Okay.
So it says Machine Gun Kelly was trying to get a crowd's attention when he decided to smash a glass against his face, causing the punk rocker to gush blood all over himself Tuesday night. I think the number one thing to pull away from both of this is he keeps trying to get people's attention by physically harming himself.
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem.
That not worrying?
Sounds like a 14-year-old to
and
me.
And it looks like it's working.
Yep.
Yeah,
so how stupid are we?
Yeah.
So it says he first made his entrance to the... Okay, they go down here. Basically talks about how, like, he's had multiple instances like this, and he says... he joked that, I'm going to have to start having doctors around me every time I see Seth Meyers on my schedule, because incidents keep happening where he gets hurt or does something like this, and it's just... We talk about Dove Cameron, and this is why I wanted to kind of pull it around and make it more about the industry does this to them and then brags about helping people fix it.
And also, Dove Cameron is showing that entertainers have a very warped view of what it is to take care of your mental well-being.
You want
to
do that?
Sure. So she got... interviewed for the LA Times. I picked out a few things that were interesting from this because a lot of it was just her self-indulgent talking about, you know, her music, and it's really not meaningful, but she, you know, ties in her queer identity and blah blah blah. That's not really what interests me about the article. But when she started talking about how she fit in as, like, a Disney kid among a previous generation of Disney kids that she never interacted with.
Exactly.
So they asked her, plenty of women have preceded you in figuring out how to define themselves outside the Disney machine. Anyone whose journey you particularly admire? And she said, I never had that moment where I was like, I'm a Disney girl. I never looked at Miley or Demi or Selena or Zendaya or Bella or anybody, Hillary Duff, or anybody that came before me, and thought, you and me are the same. I was always the strange outlier who doesn't belong and will never fit in. I had huge imposter syndrome. I didn't really look to anybody else for a roadmap. This whole narrative that I was on Disney and then found my way out with a pop song, it was a total effing accident. She also started talking about, you know, the stereotype that Disney kids are all, like, in recovery for the trauma that they experienced as, you know, child stars.
Yeah.
And she said, I cannot stress this enough. My life has always been personal stuff first and career stuff like fourth. More often than not, my life is therapy, journaling, songwriting, poetry. I don't really run into people very often.
Does anybody find it weird that therapy was the first thing that was mentioned?
Yeah, this sounds like a sad life.
Yeah, like it doesn't sound like it. And that seems to be a fairly common occurrence among Disney kids. And that's why I wanted to pull it back to the industry being what messes these kids up.
Because you're at that point, if you say something like that as like you're the model for, you know, self-care or something, you clearly don't understand that, you know, adapting to becoming an adult, especially after being an entertainer, means that you're able to, you know, socialize. You're a socialized, adjusted person. Mm. And you don't spend all of your time like on Zoom with a therapist or like writing poetry and like getting DoorDash.
I always wonder, like, whenever, like, I'm a serial IMDb-er when I'm watching stuff. I love looking up about every actor if they give a performance that I like to get at least a snapshot insight into like basic things in their life. And I always love when they put like they enjoy, and it's always these things. It's like writing poetry, going horseback riding. I'm like, do they actually sit around?
Long walks on the
beach. Do they actually sit around and write poetry? If so, that's freaking awesome. But it's just always really funny when
Is like, Dove Cameron is notorious for doing excessive Photoshop on all of her pictures.
Which
on
is
Instagram.
Weird. She's an attractive enough person.
Exactly. Yeah. She's beautiful, but she has such a distorted self-perception, and she doesn't interact from her own admission. Mm. She does not interact with people very often.
So sad.
And I simply don't believe that she's, you know, living her life by self-improvement, like writing poetry, therapy that actually has an end goal. So, I think she's sitting on her phone and obsessing over what people say about her.
Something I wish people would learn at a younger age, which is probably impossible, is to stop comparing yourself to others. Yep. And like the one thing that stuck out to me in that first part you read, Mary, is where she said I never looked at Miley or Demi or any of those names and thought like that's like me. Like I'm sure all of those people felt similar, you know, looking around at other people at Disney and stuff. And like, it's okay to not be like, I'm not like that person, I think. And it's just hard to understand that at a young age.
The concept of imposter syndrome rang true to me. I get that. Absolutely. Entirely. Like that, that makes perfect sense to me. But
I mean, I just thought she was trying very hard to assert her own uniqueness among other child stars. Like she's done a better job of differentiating herself somehow. She's like one of the least known.
Hasn't worked because I never heard of her.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's also because they like it's like just talking about these things and being able to intellectualize these ideas doesn't mean you're actually doing the work. Mm-hmm. Like they talk about therapy, they talk about this, they talk about that. But how much progress do we actually make if we're externalizing it all the time in unhelpful situations? Like just talking about going to therapy with people doesn't necessarily mean that you're actually getting the most out of it. And we talk all the time about the problem about therapy that doesn't have an end goal. Mm-hmm. It's not helpful if you're just like obsessing over it all the time. And there's just would you say, Mary, that you would attribute some of this to like a lack of faith or a lack of we've talked about that before. Like you think it's just the cultural decline that we're in right now that people feel these problems are more prevalent?
Yeah, I mean, I want to avoid always, you know, harping on it. Yeah. But yeah, we're in a time of cultural decay. Mm-hmm. I think child stars are feeling that maybe the strongest of most people.
Any young person on their phone, who lives in their phone.
Mm-hmm. You do still have an option to shut it off, right? Yep. But like, in a way, if you're Dove Cameron, Selena Gomez, Miley Cyrus, all of these people, your name has kind of been stolen. Your image has been stolen from you before you had the judgment to decide if you actually wanted that.
Yeah. Did we say this? Might have been last time we were on. We were talking about I was on. Is when you become famous, like that's the age you're stuck at.
That is so Britney Spears.
Right. Yep. It's a lot of them, you know, except for maybe who's made it out.
Hilary Duff came out fairly normal.
But Hilary Duff came out normal because she got her role as Lizzie McGuire through her father, who was producing the show, who I'm sure went out of his way to make sure that she was kept sheltered from the worst aspects of it.
True.
Well, Miley Cyrus's dad, Billy Ray Cyrus could have done a better job.
There are some Ryan Gosling made it out. Who skate by, like, I think Miranda Cosgrove is one of them. She said, like, her parents introduced the idea of her acting for to save up her college fund. Right. And then she ended up actually fulfilling that promise.
That's cool.
But most of them, Jeanette McCurdy, her co-star included, are victims of it.
Yeah.
They're not benefiting off of it.
Look at Christina Aguilera.
Oh,
look what she was wearing a few weeks ago.
She's kind of a mess right now.
When did she start?
She was same age as Britney Spears.
Same class with Ryan Gosling.
Were they in Mickey Mouse Club?
Yep, Mickey Mouse Club.
Wow.
Yep. All right, there's some super chats.
Yes.
Thank you.
Wolf Spain said, child stars need more like Dylan and Cole Sprouse. Left Hollywood for college and went down their own path. Mm. Also, thank their parents for raising them.
Mm. I mean, there's like, it's interesting. Well, some of my favorite articles to read, even as somebody who's not religious, are the ones who walk away. And just like, we were talking about Alexa Panavega yesterday. I mentioned her slightly. Her and her husband, Carlos Panavega, they like left Hollywood, moved to Hawaii. Mm. They met in Bible study. And like, right. I love that story. Like, because it just seems so like, they're like, they said, like, Hollywood doesn't really care about family. There's like, that was a big part of the article. She's like, look, they seem to act like family's lame, but family's important to me. And that, you know, I don't know if that's a credit to their good parenting or just the fact that they felt a calling like that. But that that speaks to me in an industry full of degeneracy and in struggles. I like to see people who escape it on their own terms.
It's almost like you have to be a shell of a human to exist in that world.
Yep, because like, they turn you into whatever they need you to be.
Exactly. And like, you turn around and you do like a Norman Rockwell painting of a family as a, you know, in a scene, and then you turn back around and you're like this vapid husk,
which is weird that they can fake it but not
really. Scary.
Yeah,
that's exactly like what they were trying to depict in the Black Mirror episode starring Miley Cyrus, where she played her, you know, pop star alter ego. Not that subtle of a message, right? Ashley O. where she was literally getting replaced by a hologram of herself.
Oh shoot. We're almost there in this reality.
Yeah,
it's happening.
I sent her an Instagram earlier of this really creepy deep fake of Tom Cruise.
I've been watching those.
Paris Hilton. It's really creepy.
I would have believed that had Tom Cruise looked a little bit closer to his current age in that video.
Those deep fakes of him are amazing. Completely,
like, it was like 99% there.
Was it really Paris Hilton, or was it a Paris Hilton deepfake as well?
It was Paris Hilton deepfake. Yeah.
I just got a message from Dane that Pop Culture Crisis made it to 30K.
You guys brought me on to do this to me on air? This is unbelievable.
Take that,
no,
Shane
Cashman. I'm happy for you guys. You guys deserve it.
No, don't deserve try it. To be the bigger
but
person.
But everybody,
now.
Go now.
that's
amazing.
You're going to like pour marbles all over the floor.
That's amazing.
What people don't realize is that once you release on the first, that it's going to build very,
but
very quickly.
That's amazing, but I'm out of here. I quit. I fucking know. Imagine if I already the rugged man.
To be fair, like, you have a different pace of content.
Oh, so. I like how everyone's nice now that you hit 30K.
Now that we won,
you people.
We can have a very measured response.
Let's talk to shit. He does. He'll be fine. We're burning this place down.
we're gonna come up here tomorrow. There's gonna be like an inverted world skull, like tacked to the wall.
I'm gonna drop like pig's blood on you now.
No.
That would be kind of a vibe.
Congrats, guys.
There's some more super chats.
You deserve it.
Bad upset.
And thanks to Dane for letting us know while we're on air. What the heck?
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know if that was meant to be shared, but it felt like it was meant to be shared.
Oh, yeah,
he really wanted us to have the live reaction.
He was hoping for a fight, I think. He was hoping for me and Shane.
Thanks, Dane.
No, but we're
That's
good
so nice of you.
People. We're friends here.
They were berating me before we started filming. Don't you believe a word she says? And Brett, he sounds like he's nice. You should hear him before this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm over this.
It's fairly true, actually.
It actually is true.
Yeah, he's really mean, guys. Oh my goodness. It's all an act.
Wait
until
he unleashes it.
Someday.
I'll do a behind the scenes.
There's some more.
Bad Up said MGK is a wannabe scene being Kurt Cobain.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that.
Well, apparently there is some audience for it. It's not me, but it's true.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Hate to say it. Sage Catharsis said,
for $5.10.
That's a strange amount. Whoa, this is a lot. Please talk about
I don't know. Comic books Beast Hank McCoy's transracial trials, fixing blackness, no mutantness, X Factor Friends. I don't know. It's not one that I'm familiar with.
Is this a bot? Thanks for the $5.
Is it just vomiting words?
It seems like it.
Do bots have money now?
That would be cool.
Are you a bot?
I mean, give us the bot money.
No, I'm not. I like that sound. That absolutely sounds like a real thing. But,
what does it sound?
I didn't catch any of that. So.
I mean, given how crazy comics are and how bad they are nowadays, it could absolutely be a real thing.
We're MKLR said only watching the new James Bond if they cast Elliot Page. Oh, so exciting!
That would be. You know what? I would actually watch it. I would watch it for the partial.
And we would review
it. What would be funny is I would watch it for the lulls, and then it ends up being really, really good, and then you're like, damn it.
If it's good, it's good.
Exactly. You have to.
It's good.
One thing that I've been focusing more on is separating art from artists, because it used to be that I could just not read the stuff that annoying celebrities say and still watch their art.
Right.
But now, because this is work and I don't get to just pick and choose what we cover. I mean, I do, but like, I still have to read through like all the Roe v. Wade stuff that we've had to read through is just insane.
You can't save yourself from the cringe now.
No, you cannot. No. So it's just, you have to be able to separate art from artists. And Elliot Page, I mean, I don't think Elliot Page is the person who played James Bond, but if for some reason they were able to do that and through the miracle of film make that work.
Maybe Q. There you go.
That could work. Take that, Ben Winshaw. Yeah. You're gone. okay, there's one more there.
Wolf Spain said,
That was the one you read.
Oops.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got it. Also, someone said Lindsay Lohan, cough, cough.
By the way, it will be, here's a fun fact about Lindsay Lohan. She and me have the same birthday, which is July 2nd.
Whoa.
Yeah. This is a birthday present that Brett needed.
We are going to move on and we're going to do Podluck. Yes, it is coming
Brett
up.
Brett turns 30,000.
30,000 years old. Yeah. Yes. No, and Larry David, same day.
Really?
Larry David.
What?
Yep. Oh, yeah. All right, so we are going to talk Podluck, and we are going to talk, we are going to follow up to the R. Kelly story yesterday, and we're just going to touch on this briefly. R. Kelly was sentenced to 30 years in prison for doing bad things to people. So it says R. Kelly would go to prison for 30 years for sex trafficking, sexual exploitation of a child, kidnapping, and other sex-related crimes. In September, a jury found Kelly guilty on all 9 charges, 1 count of racketeering, and 8 counts of violating the Mann Act, which is the act of taking a woman or a young woman across state lines for the purposes of sex or debauchery. It's the actual word that's used in that.
They use debauchery?
Yeah, they use debauchery.
Wow.
The singer, whose full name is Robert Sylvester Kelly, was first accused of having sex with underage girls in the 90s, but escaped punishment for almost 30 years. If you read his Wikipedia, it's insane.
Really?
Everything from the sham marriage to Aaliyah to the stuff with the, like, it's just, it's really disgusting. And it's one of the things we talked about yesterday was like, why is this so normal and nobody seemed to care about this, whereas everybody seemed to care about Amber Heard and Johnny Depp? That was what we focused on yesterday.
Right.
But I wanted to do a follow up and say that they were saying that his lawyers pushed for 10 years. They wanted the mandated minimum of 10 years, and the state wanted life in prison, and 30 years is what he got. So it says, those crimes were calculated and carefully planned and regularly executed almost 25 years. Judge Donnelly added, you taught them that love is enslavement and violence. Federal prosecutors asked for a sentence of more than 25 years for Kelly, who faced life behind bars. The singer's lawyers were seeking the minimum. Were you aware of that? Do you even remember that this was going on?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
When the news broke yesterday,
the
same thing everybody else was saying was like, he got more than Ghislaine.
Yeah.
And that was upsetting.
Ghislaine.
Ghislaine.
Yeah.
But he should be in jail for a long time.
Yep.
It's disgusting. I mean, he's made some good music.
Why do you think that Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard got so much more media attention?
Probably because Johnny Depp's a bigger star.
Oh,
I would say. R. Kelly?
I don't know about that.
I mean, look, I wouldn't have the authority to say because I wasn't alive when R. Kelly was like
has
really
made some huge hits. He's got great songs. Like the Keys to My Jeep song, great. I Believe I Can Fly, great. He's got some huge hits. But he's he ha- he like leveled off at a certain point where he didn't have the cultural influence that someone like Johnny Depp has.
I would argue that he became like his misdeeds became more culturally relevant for a period of time than his music, meaning that he became a punchline of like abuse and
like a Bill Cosby basically, level.
But Bill Cosby even came out later, even though in the industry they were saying they knew about Bill Cosby. R. Kelly's thing blew up even with Aaliyah when we were teenagers, basically. So he's been the butt of this type of peeing on people joke and all that
stuff.
That's
what I'm saying. That's forever. Literally what he's known for right now.
So it's like it's so sad and pathetic that it's been so watered down, no pun intended, that after all this time we don't even look at it like that.
One thing that's interesting is like because we tend to be counterculture and you push back against mainstream narratives, I think that would make the average person who's not aware of like what our views might be to think that you're just looking to be like a contrarian. But if you want to talk about the good side of what came from a movement like Me Too, R. Kelly, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, even though he wriggled out from under, there were positives to that before it all went bad. But if you notice, it all seems to come back to entertainment and these industries who want to tell you how to live your life and tell you that family should be this way, family shouldn't be this way. And all of this stuff stems from this world.
Because these types of folks seem to always be projecting whatever is their affliction, they project onto you. And it may, I don't know if the industry creates that or the industry is a magnet for that, but that seems to be the case all the time.
So do you think this is one of those things where when Weinstein was like he was up for appeal and he
thank you
Weinstein was up for appeal like just recently and it got turned away. I said this is good. We need to remember that there are like people being held accountable. We're not just here. I'm not just here to be a contrarian. I'm not just here to tell you that this was bad or this is good.
No.
When something like this happens, you need to remember that these things do happen and it's not just misrepresented all the time because monsters do still exist.
But what we're talking about here, and I think part of the crisis that we're always upset over is that like these atrocities clearly exist. But then like, you heard that phrase that like Winston Churchill has used or Rahm Emanuel, where it's like, let no crisis, go unused or whatever they say. Right. Yeah. And it's like people will latch on to these movements and then turn anything into a problem.
Exactly.
And that's the crisis, where it's like you're just turning every rock over looking for any problem. And you doing that then waters down the real problems. Like we should be focusing on R. Kelly more, having a bigger discussion about this. And it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. But it's just we'll forget about this tomorrow as a society.
That's a problem. And to be fair, I guess we've actually got Amber Heard at the end of Podluck today, but like that will eventually fade and become less relevant, I suppose. But as it happens, like we still need to be aware that when good does come of it, you have to be willing to point that out as well.
We've got a super chat saying from Nathan Koss saying Johnny Depp and Amber Heard got more media because people were able to take sides. It's why anything gets popular. People like competition and always want their side to win. Kind of reminds me of pop culture crisis and inverse.
Yeah, that's a good point. Again, I'm leaving. that's a good point.
No, that's true. Because like with R. Kelly or with Ghislaine Maxwell, like whose side are you taking? Not them crowd.
Yeah.
And also since Depp and Heard both kind of acted awful but for the most part.
And as I've said, I think that they were proxies for grievances that people had between men and women.
And I do believe that Depp was mistreated by the media initially. But I'm saying that when the stakes are a lot less, what happened to them is not sex trafficking the people can kind of be more fun about as awful as it sounds be more fun about picking sides.
There was a proxy between men and women, and there was a proxy between us and them with the media.
In the media,
because people are fed up with the media's twisting of stories.
I am so sick of the media.
Report it.
So let's move on. Let's talk about Alec Baldwin and we were going to talk about this initially, but I was just like, do I really care that a guy who killed somebody on set is going to interview a creepy
adds
pedophile?
Up. It adds up.
Alec Baldwin slammed for interviewing Woody Allen amid Rust backlash. Can you imagine two people you would want less to talk to in like a room?
I mean, I guess they're two peas in a pod, huh?
Like, yeah, it's like, hey, Hitler and Harvey Weinstein are having an interview. Let's listen in.
I mean, I wouldn't mind hearing what they have to say. I'm curious. These people are alive and they're crazy, and I want to learn from their mistakes.
It is funny because the interview was just filled with like technical difficulties and issues.
What, does a gun go off?
No gun went off as far as I know. It says he's under fire for interviewing alleged abuser Woody Allen while still on the hook for the accidental shooting of his late Rust colleague Helena Hutchins. Like Baldwin's career isn't already hanging on by a thread. What a dumb way to completely destroy it, one person tweeted Tuesday ahead of the Baldwin 64 Allen 86 going live on Instagram. Remember when Alec Baldwin literally killed a crew member on set last year, faced zero repercussions, and is now promoting a special interview he's doing with ... Woody Allen? That's literally all you need to know about the TV and film industry. And I agree. It is funny to hear, like, in the interview, Woody Allen's like, yeah, I think I'm going to hang it up soon, even though he's like 8,000 years old.
It always feels like they're rubbing it in our faces.
Yep. Like they're literally saying like we're better than you. And like, yeah, maybe I'll stop soon.
Maybe I can do whatever I want.
Alec Baldwin, who shot and killed his employee 8 months ago, is live on Instagram now with Woody Allen, who married his daughter. Journalist Emily Miller noted. Alec Baldwin announced in an interview with Woody Allen topics to include the murdering of innocent people and child. Yes, that word. That right there, I highlighted it.
Just some light material.
Yes, a fourth Twitter user satirically quipped. I mean, it just seems like I can almost respect the fact that he just clearly is so narcissistic he doesn't give a crap what this looks like in an awful and disgusting way. Like you have to one of the things that I always find hilarious about Hollywood is you have to literally be kind of like you mentioned earlier, like an empty shell.
Yeah.
Like you have to be willing to be so amoral and willing to just do anything that you'll do this and go out in public after killing a woman on set or say in an interview that you don't think it was your fault.
Right.
When the normal human response, even if it wasn't your fault, is to feel a little bit guilty.
I don't think it was it your fault? The question was, do you feel bad?
Yeah.
Or like, do you feel guilty? And
that
said no.
That interview was crazy.
And then like juxtapose that with what we were talking about yesterday, Chris Pratt profusely apologizing for accusations that he is a bigot that were never founded on anything factual. Mm-hmm. And you can see that you just get punished for having normal human emotions. Yep. Even though I don't respect Chris Pratt's response, I I understand why he did.
I was more measured. Lydia and Mary kind of took him to task.
I didn't see his comments.
We flensed him? Is that the word?
I think that was the word Lydia used, flensed.
Nice.
Yep. It says, Allen's adopted daughter, Dylan Farrow, accused him in 1992 of sexually assaulting her in the family's attic when she was 7 years old. The family director has called the claims, which resurfaced in 2021, resurfaced. There's that word again.
Yeah.
Great word. There is no such thing as resurfacing on Twitter. Resurfacing just means somebody who hates you just decides to be like, hey, remember when that person might have done this?
They act like it's some kind of...
It magically resurfaced.
It makes it sound like they really believe Twitter is the collective unconscious and it's rising to the surface of our...
It has a mind of its own.
And as you two believe, Twitter's just bots.
Well, thank you. I wasn't going to bring it up this time. Because I'm on a real bad binge of thinking everything's fake right now.
Yeah.
All these stories we just read. But you're
okay,
right.
But
thank you.
Shane, you use Twitter, even though it's full of bots, for the exceptions that are human.
Because I want to make sure the bots like me.
You want the bots to like you? Why?
Because that's how I find acceptance in the world.
I want the bots to hate me.
So two core different personalities right there. All right.
And it's just me and her on Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just us.
All on Twitter.
That would be interesting if it was just you guys and a bunch of
bots.
Russian bots, as Chris Pratt pointed out yesterday. Russian bots. Why are they always Russian? Why does Hollywood hate Russia so much? I mean, I get why they hate Russia now, but why did they always hate Russia before? So we're going to finish off with Womp Womp Womp. Amber Heard to sell expensive gift from Elon Musk to pay Johnny Depp after trial. What would that gift be, you say? Amber Heard will have to sell a gift she once received from Elon Musk to pay Johnny Depp after she lost their defamation trial. Heard used to be in a relationship with the founder of Tesla and SpaceX. This means she has received many gifts from him. According to Marca, is it Marsa or Marca? I can never remember. One of the gifts was a Tesla Model X car. This electric car can go however many long in a single charge and has 1,200 horsepower. And then just down here says, there have been some controversies as to whether she bought the car herself or if it was a gift from Musk, the car is fully equipped and is worth around $130,000. Well, that ain't going to put much of a dent in like the 10.3, well, it's like 8 point something million she owes him now.
Yeah.
So she's going to have
unless
to sell.
Unless they waive it.
Yes.
Is likely.
Still a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Depp doesn't want to come off like he's.
Looking for just blood.
Yeah. Because he got his wish. He's got he just started filming a new movie, or he's just on his way to film his first movie since the trial, like right now. So that's where things are going. I like the idea that Musk like doesn't give her like gifts that he buys. He just like takes one off the line.
It's all on the company card.
Yeah, he's literally just wrote it off as a tax write off. Like car. He's like he gave her a car right off the line. So yes, Shane, thank you so much,
dude. Thank you guys. I'm glad I was here for you to shame me on YouTube Live.
No,
I feel like I was set up, Mary. Is I think she set this whole thing up.
No.
I think the bots are actually following you guys now.
I pay for bots to get us over 30K?
Actually, after I said I felt kind of bad.
That Amber, the same ones that Amber Heard used.
Brett, don't feel
don't
bad.
Don't feel bad.
I felt bad.
Oh, my God. No. I'm proud of you guys.
I felt bad after I said
you're
it.
You're both like, pretending to be the bigger person, and I'm just like an evil genius over here.
No,
she's
I felt
hiding a
like,
knife behind her back.
I'm wondering if like when we're done, I'm going to get yelled at. Like if Dane's like, I didn't mean for you to say that. I don't think he meant for me.
No way. I'm super happy for you
no,
guys.
No, that's why he texted you.
So let everyone know where they can find you, because you guys are about to have a big day tomorrow.
We are going to release our first episode, finally. Episode 1 of Ghosts of the Civil War. And that'll be on YouTube, Tales from the Inverted World. And we're on Spotify and Apple and, I don't know, Pandora. Yeah. Do we use that?
We use also like Amazon Music, yeah. Apple Podcasts.
And I'll just be at some street corner screaming it at the street, reading from my script. And then we'll have an episode every week. And then the book will be out sometime next month.
Okay, so, that was what I was going to ask. So one episode per week, and then the book comes out at the end of...
No, unlike last time, the book's going to come out like halfway through this.
Oh, so that's awesome.
If people want to finish it quicker, you'll be able to read it on Kindle or have a paperback. So I'm pretty stoked on that.
Dude,
looking at the cover art earlier that Jessica Boone has done for us. She's a genius. I'm pretty stoked on that. And yeah.
You've worked very hard on this. Like you guys have been hard at work since the, like that's, it's not like we come out here every day and we kind of just do the thing like per day. You've been like slogging the whole time to make this one thing happen.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah. Since October, I've been flying to one town in Georgia and spending a lot of time there and coming back here and hiding in my desk and
only coming out to help me
literally
do the show.
Yeah. I came
thank you
either to raise my children or do Pop Culture Crisis,
raise
which I love
these
doing
children Brett and Mary.
he's bringing us into adulthood.
They call me Father Crisis.
That is
I love that
is your new name. We are calling you that from now on.
Perfect
All right, give everyone links and social media.
Yeah, so yes, Tales from the Inverted World everywhere online. Well, Twitter it's at Inverted Tales, and Shane Cashman everywhere. That there's a social media hell zone with bots and Mary.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Congratulations to you guys.
Thank you.
See, Mary. We're civil, Mary. How are you going to handle it, though?
Handle what?
Yeah, I thought you were going to be mean or not. You're going to be mean?
Mean.
Oh, I was
mean expecting... him or being so civil.
I know. I was waiting here hoping for her to throw some darts.
I think we totally deserve this, and I'm going to shill for pop culture tonight even harder.
On IRL.
Go to IRL and see me there tonight, guys. I'm sure a lot of you... or like also subscribers there. So
what's IRL? I don't know what IRL is. Never heard of it. There was just one more super chat there.
Let me see.
Bad app
said you I'd paying Elon for a Tesla and some solar panels too.
Hey, you know, gotta do what you gotta do in this economy.
That's the hustle.
In this economy.
Mm-hmm.
You got to. Mary, let everyone know where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram or WeChat at Closer Kitty. And also, whenever I post articles on timcast.com, I promote them there.
And you'll be on IRL tonight.
And I'm going to be on IRL tonight.
Perfect. Guys, you can follow me on Instagram, at Brett Dasovic, for the show, Pop Culture Crisis, right here on YouTube, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is noon Pacific. We are also on social media. We are on Twitter, at @PopCulture_show, Facebook and TikTok, at Pop Culture Crisis, and on Instagram, at Pop Culture Crisis Pod. And we got one more super chat from K2X. He says, Mary, for the next vlog, name your bears. Name the bears.
Mm. Well, Mr. Fluffykins already has a name.
He's like, you can see him up there. He's looking at you right now.
I can name all of the rest of them.
There you go.
I really liked watching Brett speak to the bears. alone.
Oh, yeah. I think he did a fantastic job, even though it was kind of reluctant participation in the vlog.
I thought it was great.
Well, you know what?
What you got to do, okay?
Yeah. Like, if I have to host a fake podcast with, like, my own version of, like, an imaginary tea party, then it's
I think people
do.
Would tune into it. I really do.
Bonus segment on the website one day. All right, guys. I think I listed all the social medias, and we will be back with another episode on... What is today? Thursday? Tomorrow. We'll see you then, guys.
Yes.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye.